Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. Well, this week, I know announcements have already been made in my own little plea. If you've ever set up our tent before, it's a whole lot easier if you have a few people who know how to set up a tent or have done it before. There is going to be a district outreach in Wethersfield, Connecticut next Saturday, and we're going to set up our church tent right now. In case you don't know, there's a trailer in our backyard where we have a church tent in that trailer. I'm going to leave work at about 2 p.m. on Thursday, be to the church here by about 2:30. Hopefully I'll get all hooked up and ready to go and leave by 3 o'clock to get to Wethersfield about an hour early. I'd like to have the tent there about 4 o'clock. Other workers are going to arrive there at 5 o'clock, which I hope to be all, you know, everything's set up ready to go. So if you're able to help in that endeavor on Thursday to set up our tent, let me know, or let Brother Dyke know. All right, there's two of us. Praise the Lord. there's three. Praise the Lord. Three is better than one. Until four. Praise the Lord. Do I have a five? Anyway, love you. Amen. It's going to be a good thing. You know, we want to, our church, I believe, God has put us, this Apostolic Lighthouse, body of believers, it's not just for our benefit. I believe this church, it is God's will for this church to be a blessing to people outside the walls of our assembly. Amen. Praise the Lord. In fact, I was talking to another neighboring pastor about our tent. Perhaps there'll be another use of it later in the year. We'll see. So, Brother Rabitas, he's in Massachusetts, so he's a little ways away, but not too far. Amen. Anyway, I'm excited. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 41. Let me turn your attention to verse 51 and 52. I'll read these two verses and I'll let you be seated. Genesis chapter 41, beginning to read at verse 51. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God said, He hath made me forget all my toil in all my father's house. Verse 52, and the name of the second called he Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. My title, and this is it's a topic that I want to teach or preach on regularly. My title today is God Hath Made Me Forget. Amen. There's some things we need to forget in this life, but there's also things we need to remember. Amen. I hope you'll get it in just a little while. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. I ask even now, Lord, for your anointing. Lord, for your unction. Lord, for your will to be accomplished in this place. Lord, I pray that you would quicken my mind, quicken the words that I would say. Help us, Lord, to serve you. Let your will be accomplished even now in each of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I feel like I have another sneeze coming on. Praise the Lord. Well, I'll keep a tissue nearby. God hath made me forget. Praise the Lord. Truly, there are things in our lives that we need to get over. Amen. We need to get past. I need to get past my past, if you will, that I might look forward to my future in Jesus Christ. Amen. Right here in the beginning of this session today, I want to establish something right here at the very up front in the beginning. Offenses will come. Amen. They're just going to happen. We are individuals and we're humans, and sometimes things get bent out of shape and not taken as they should have been, or maybe you said the wrong things when you shouldn't have, maybe this or that or a bunch of different things. But offenses will come. It's not a maybe or not sometimes, but they happen. Even here in church. Amen. Even in your life. Amen. I've had people tell me, oh, well, I don't get offended. Okay. I hear what you're saying. I don't believe it's true, though. Because every one of us has offenses that comes our way. Amen. I don't mean to take offense. I don't mean to, be negative. But stuff happens. Amen. Let me use scripture here to kind of emphasize what I'm coming to. Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse number 1. Luke 17. Then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. Here I have word of God for what I'm saying. Offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Someone say that with me. Forgive him. Offenses come, then forgive him. Amen. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day. Oh, now you're pushing the buttons. Now you're pushing a little bit hard right here. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Amen. Now that seems a little tough. In the flesh it is. But in the spirit, it's right. Amen. We need to learn to forgive. In fact, sometimes I'll go to other versions. I've got a bunch of different, my eSword has got a bunch of different versions in that Bible program. There's one, the New American Standard Bible. This Luke chapter 17, verse 1. In the New American Standard Bible version, it says, then said he unto the disciples, it is inevitable that offenses will come. It's just a sure thing. It just happens. No matter who you are, you might be the nicest person in the church, and somebody's still going to offend you. You might be the newest person on the pew. We don't mean to offend you, but you might get offended. It happens. Maybe you've been around a long time. That does not make you exempt from offenses. Doesn't matter what you've accomplished. Doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, no matter how fair, how holy, how godly, how pure, how kind, or how Christian you are, offenses will come. Bearer of good news, and it's pretty quiet in here. But it happens. I don't mean it to happen. I'm pretty sure you don't want it to happen. You didn't try to do it. But offenses do come. There, I was at a conference this last weekend, just yesterday and the day before. And there was this one part where they were preaching about the wolf killers out west. They had a problem with wolves, and this one man was called in to kill the wolves. Well, longer story shorter, it became a part of his heritage. You know, he lived there in that place. And because he lived there, he became expert at killing the wolves. No, wolves in the spirit are things that come against your godly nature. We got to learn how to get rid of or kill those things that are against the presence of God. There's things in your life that we need to, they cause offense. We need to get rid of it. We need to take it out of our life. We need to do away with it. Amen. Now, some of these offenses, wolves, if you will, you have to understand the source of that offense. Sometimes personalities conflict. You know, some people are just, I don't see things. I mean, I see in color. Some people have pink on and blue on and green on. I can see colors, but I see black and white. You know, things are simple. It's good or it's bad. It's things you should do or things you shouldn't do. But a lot of people see things differently than I do. And it's very possible I may offend somebody because I don't think like they do. I don't mean to be offensive. I don't want to be offensive. I do want to be godly. I do want to say the word of God. In fact, I'm instructed by God to tell the truth. I'm supposed to preach the gospel. I'm supposed to do the things that God wants me to do. I'm called by God to this office to be a pastor, a shepherd. Look out for the wolves. Look out for the offenses. Look out for those things that will take you away from the kingdom of God. Look out for those things that will hinder your walk with God. Amen. Some personalities kind of rub each other the wrong way. That could cause offense. It could be somebody's just having a bad day. And that may cause an offense. Ask yourself, is the offender normally or usually a mean-spirited person? I hope not. Does the offender have a sharp tongue? Well, they did that time. Well, pray for them. Forgive them. Are there outside influences or circumstances affecting that offender? Maybe something bad happened in their family. Maybe something bad happened at work. You don't know what's going on in the inside of that person's mind. You don't know what outside influences have brought that person to the place where they are at that very moment. And that could cause an offense. There are many outside influences or circumstances that may be affecting that offender. Is the offender going through something and causing them to be offensive? I have found in my experience that habitually offensive people suffer from low esteem. They have a problem that is within themselves.
that God can heal, that God can help with, that God can able to bring them past that portion of offense. It is very possible. They cannot. They're unable to lift themselves up. So, in their own misguided way, if they try to bring someone down, somehow lifts them up. It's untrue. It's not right. But that's the nature of mankind. When I would go crabbing, and we would get these blue crabs in Virginia, we'd put them in our bucket. You know, we'd pull them up and catch them and put them in the bucket. As long as you had two crabs in the bucket, none of them would escape. Because one crab climbing out of the bucket, another crab would grab them and pull them down. No crabs would escape from the bucket as long as there was two crabs in there. Because they would always pull their buddy down. You'd think, well, one crab's going to hold on. Oh, I'm going to pick you up. I'll help you out. No way. That's not the nature of a crab. It's not the nature of a man or a woman or a child. Unless you've got the nature of God in you, unless God changes your nature. Amen. So pulling other people down, that's just a carnal human nature. We got to recognize that I don't want to do the things of the flesh. I don't want to do the things of the world. I don't want to do the things that are carnal. I want to do the things that are godly. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, there really is. Offenses are going to come. And there is a proper response to an offense. Some offenses are not intentional. They didn't mean to offend you. And then some are. Offenses cause pain. Whether if it was intentional or whether if it was not intentional. Whether if they meant to say it or do it or not. It still causes pain. But let me put a comma right there and say, but the only, someone say only. Only the only offenses that cause permanent damage are those that are allowed to fester. If you just keep thinking about it over and over, oh man, what that person said, blah, 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 you just don't have any kind words for what that person said or what that person did or what you saw that person do or that, you know, what they said to somebody else. It could go on and on and on. If you keep thinking about it, if you keep going over it in your mind over and over and over and over and over again and again, you know what? It never gets any better. In fact, it grows worse in your own mind. It's more serious because you've been thinking about it so long. Because you've dwelled on it so often. You have made the offense worse because of your dwelling on it. Offenses allowed to marinate always turn into a root, get this, of bitterness. Maybe it started out as an unintentional offense. They did something. I've had people be offended because I didn't shake their hand. I hate to even say it, but I've seen somebody backslide over a yard sale. Man, you could have thrown that whole yard full of stuff in the trash and it would have been fine with me. I didn't need any of that thing. And somebody got so offended over haggling over a yard sale. I don't think I've ever seen anything more little that offended somebody. And that person never came back to church. They left the church because of a yard sale. I'm not against yard sales. In fact, I go to yard sales. But I don't want to be offended over the price of something at a yard sale. Praise the Lord. Offenses that are allowed to just fester, they will cause a root of bitterness. Amen. We don't have control over what other people say or do or think. Oh, but she thinks that. You don't have any control over what somebody else is thinking. Amen. We do have control over how we respond. Amen. Our response determines the extent of the effect of that offense that it will have on our life. We have control over what we do with that offense. When you allow an offender to cause you to change your attitude, if that offender can change your thinking, if that offender can modify the actions that you take, if that offender changes who you are, then that person that made the offense now has power over you. Man, that person has power over you because of an offense that they committed. Now, that makes no sense in my mind. I do not want to go to hell because of something bad somebody else did. That just makes no sense. I have no understanding of how that could possibly be a good thing. How that could possibly be allowed to continue. People are going to do offensive things. That's just a part of our human nature. But our response to that offense is in our control. Yes, it is. Evidently, someone had gotten on Simon Peter's nerve. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 and 22. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, on this very topic, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? In my mind, well, maybe he did it once. Oh man, he did that twice. This guy did it three times. How often can this person give an offense and I still forgive him? Now, in Peter's mind, man, I'm going to stretch this way out. This is how good I think God is going to make me and help me to be. How about this? Seven times. Now, in the flesh, that seems like a pretty good number, right? Yeah, seven times. I could forgive that guy. With your help, God, I could forgive that guy seven times in one day. Jesus said unto him, you know, Jesus knows more about us than we know about ourselves. You try to puff yourself up and think you're doing so good. Oh man, I've been in church a long time now and I got this under control. Be careful what you ask for. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times. But for you, Peter, until 70 times seven. Your number just moved to the right to 490. Amen. Wow. 490 times. You get the idea. Just forgive the person. I think if you're counting, man, he's at 489. Just do it one more time. No. You've lost the concept. If you're counting, you got the wrong attitude. Just no matter what happens, forgive the person. Forgive that woman. Forgive that man. Forgive that child. How many times do you have to forgive your kid? You know, I forgave him yesterday, and I'm going to forgive him again today. I'm going to keep loving. God is going to keep loving you. You just keep loving God. And you just keep forgiving whatever offense comes, whatever wolf is at your door. Just go ahead and knock that wolf off. You know, kill that thing. And that one won't come back. There might be one that looks like him that shows up. Kill that one too. Amen. It is not in our nature to be overly forgiving. Human nature wants to get even. I don't get mad, I get even. Man, I feel sorry for you. What, are you going to get even with the whole world? What, are you going to get everybody? No. It's just not possible. Terrible. Never does the human soul appear so strong as when it forgoes revenge and dares to forgive an injury. Amen. If you can rise above the offense, if you can forgive the offense, amen. That was a quote from Edwin Chapin. Joseph suffered much at the hands of his brethren. Joseph's father loved him. He was the child of his beloved wife in his old age. Loved him so much that he had made for him a coat of many colors that set him apart from all of his brethren. He was the only son that had this coat of many colors. He was a beloved son. Dad loved him. And that love that Dad had caused his brothers to be jealous of Joseph. His dad sent Joseph out to check on his brothers who were in the field with the sheep. And when his brothers saw him afar off, they could tell it was him because of that coat of many colors. That far way away, here comes that dreamer. See, Joseph had dreams about how that God was going to bless and prosper him and that he was going to be exalted. The brothers were jealous of him. Here comes that dreamer. Well, let's teach this guy a lesson. Let's just put him down. Put him in his place. You know, that sounds pretty carnal, doesn't it? That sounds pretty humanistic, if you will. Brothers plotted the plan. They were going to throw him in a pit. They were going to kill him. Beat him up, throw him in, leave him there. Some of them wanted to kill him and then throw him in the pit. Reuben persuaded them not to shed blood so that he later could come and rescue him. Here comes the Ishmaelites, the enemies. Caravan came. Well, let's sell him. Let's get some profit off. So they pulled him up, sold him as a slave. Imagine selling your brother to your enemies as a slave. That's what happened. And then plotting this plan to kill a sheep and put blood on the coat and show their dad, look, is this his coat? Full of blood, tears and rips in it. Surely some beast has slain him. They didn't actually tell Dad that, but they led his dad to believe that. It's still a lie. It's still a lie. They lied to Dad, sold Joseph as a slave in Egypt. You know the story. He went from being a slave to being a servant, to be exalted as a servant, to be the head of Potiphar's house, to ruling everything in his home. He managed the entirety of the estate. He had all the other servants answering to him. Only what was on the menu was what Potiphar knew. Joseph took care of everything. And then he got lied on by Potiphar's wife. He was accused of something he did not do. And he got put back in prison. And then the other prisoners had dreams that he interpreted correctly. One was returned to service and one was killed. I'm going through the story pretty quick. I'll tell you what, God's favor was upon him. Amen. He was ultimately delivered from being the servant and exalted to being next to Pharaoh in all of the land of Egypt. He marries an Egyptian woman. They have a son. Verse 51 of Genesis 41, and Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said, he hath made me forget all my toil in my father's house. Forget about all that stuff. Forget about the brothers hating him. Forget about the brothers beating him up. Forget about the brothers stripping him of his robe, of his coat. Forget about being sold as a slave. Forget about all those things that they did and said. Forget about all of that stuff. Forget about the bad things people did. Forget about the things that the world did. Forget about the hard way you've had before. Let God lift you up. Let God prosper you. Keep your attitude right before the Lord, and God will bless your life. Musicians, would you come? In order for you to be fruitful, to be blessed, well, that verse number 52. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful. God wants to bless your life. God wants you to be fruitful. God wants to bless you. Amen. Would you stand with me? When we turn our lives over to Jesus Christ, when we give ourselves to loving the Lord, you know what? We will forgive those that had offense against us. Amen. We will forgive the offenses that have come before. Amen. We will serve the Lord. We got to keep our attitude and our mind right before God. Forget about those things that other people said. Forget about the worldly things that the world has done to us. Yeah, I know some people have had a hard way. And life sometimes comes at us really hard. But God is still for us. Amen. God will still protect us. God is still my keeper and my maker. Amen. There is a way, right there is a baptismal tank. When we ask God to forgive us, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Amen. You could have your sins washed away today. You could be baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost. God can change your life forever to be with Him. Amen. His ways are way better than our ways. Amen. I don't even want to fathom the imagination of what my life would be like without Jesus Christ. Amen. God has been so good to me. Amen. God's ways are better than our ways. Amen. Would you love Him with me? Would you lift your hands? This altar is open. Why don't we close by worshiping the Lord together? Would you join me? Would you magnify the Lord? Lord, I love You. I thank You, Lord Jesus. I praise You. I worship You, my God.